I was a little teary there singing. I don't know why, but I think, did that happen to you? Did you get emotional, teary sometimes when a thought comes, or just the reality of who God is and what he's done for us in and through Christ? I think I had flashes this last week, especially. An old baseball player, teammate of mine, contacted us and said we're going to have a mini reunion in May, go to see the North Dakota State Bison play baseball, and they have just a little get together. So that was kind of cool for my past. That's been a number of years. And then a buddy of mine that I hung around with in Minot, Dave, I saw you know how the friends show up and you can confirm them or request a friend. So I clicked on it, and he immediately comes back and sends me a thing. Hey, Jeff, it's good to hear. He was in my wedding. I hadn't seen him since then. So just, you know, people of the past are coming, and so I'm just so grateful and thankful for where God brought me and friends that he brought and family members. Just learned my brother Dean is struggling a bit with some health issues, and so we wanted to pray for him this past week. And so I think it's all just catching up to me this week. I was practicing last night. Rhonda handed me, I think I was taking some dishes downstairs from upstairs, and she handed me a bowl. I go, thank you. She handed me a glass. Thank you. She handed me something else. Thank you. I was practicing for today on gratitude and saying thanks. The Apostle Paul thought it was a pretty neat thing to give thanks. In fact, he said it's the will of Christ Jesus is that we're thankful people. And so that the text that we're in is 1 Thessalonians 5. Some of my favorite verses, there's just 16, 17, and 18, three verses. And I want to read that, but then I'm going to go into context and read just what's before it. These are final instructions from the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica. He thought these were important last words to leave this church. I don't know if he came back to this church to visit. I know he did that, where he appointed in the church. He come back and revisit them to make sure that they were right on. And they were still okay preaching the gospel and the good news, and they weren't adding things to Jesus. So here it is. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us. This is how you speak to us, and we receive it today, and help us to learn a little bit more of what it means to be a thankful person, a grateful person. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just read it in context for you, just what's going on before. The final instructions. Paul's trying to encourage them, and he says this just before our text for this morning. He says this: now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. So he's saying, remember those people that are important in your life. Remember them. Give God thanks for them. Then he says this: hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. So these brothers and sisters around you are working hard for the gospel and the church. Remember them. Give God thanks for them. Hold them in highest regard. Remember them and give them thanks. Live in peace with each other, he says. Let there not be quarreling and divisions amongst you, but live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Final instructions to the church. Be thankful for those who are around you. Hold them in highest regard. Also remember the weak and those around you that might need an extra hand. Think about those people as well. And then our text. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So when we think of rejoice always, does the Apostle Paul mean that we should be every second of every day, of every minute of every day, every hour of every day, we're to be people that are rejoicing? Is that what it means, always? No, I don't think so. I think his sense here, if you were to look at the original Greek and the endings, it's more of a continual. Be in the spirit of rejoicing as often as you can. As often as the Spirit reminds you, as often as you're reading and thinking about the Lord and what he's done for you, be a person of joy. J-O-Y. We preached on that. We listened to that message just a few weeks ago during Advent and Christmas. Rejoice always. And then in Philippians to the church in Philippi, he goes, because it was so important to Paul and to the church, he said, rejoice always. I'll say it again, he said, rejoice. So he says the same thing to the church here. Rejoice always. Be in a spirit of joy all the time. So that people see that in you. Right? And then he says, pray continually. Does that mean that I'm supposed to pray of every second of every day, of every minute, of every hour, of every day, I'm supposed to be praying out loud or in my heart to the Lord? No. But more again of the sense of in the spirit of prayer. Knowing that as a believer, as a follower of Christ, I have a gift that's been given to me. It's a gift of prayer. It's my way of speaking to God. He's already spoken to me through his word and through his son, Jesus Christ. And he speaks to me through his spirit in me when I say yes to Jesus by faith. But I have that gift that I can pray out loud or in my heart back to him. What a gift. The writer to the Hebrews says it this way. He says, you can approach the very throne of grace. When he says the throne of grace, that means where God is. He's in heaven. You can approach the very throne of grace there. You can approach it. You have access to that throne. Why do you have access to the throne? Why can you approach it? Because of Jesus Christ. He lived, he died, he rose again. He gave you access to the Father. And so in prayer, I can approach the very throne of grace that he promises to meet me in my time of need. Are we needy people? Very needy. I am anyway. But we can approach the Creator of the universe, the Father, who created the heavens and the earth. We can approach him through prayer and ask and seek and knock. And he promises to hear. So pray continually. It's more of in a spirit of prayer. Okay? I want to be a person of prayer throughout the day, throughout my life. And then what we're focusing on for the next Sunday, today and next Sunday, being a person of thanksgiving. There's one special day that we set aside to be thankful. Kids, do you remember that what we call the day to set aside to be thankful? What's it called? Thanksgiving. So for Canadians, that's in the month of October. For the U.S. people, the States people, that's in the month of November. So if you are married to a Canadian like I am, I get to celebrate twice. I get 2 days to celebrate Thanksgiving. But you know what? Every day is Thanksgiving Day. Every day that we're here, alive, breathing, trusting in Christ is a day of thanksgiving. Our lives are a response to the grace we've received and the gift we've received from Jesus. Our lives are a response back to Him of thanksgiving. My whole life is one of thanks. Am I always thankful? Do I always thank you every day for everything, Rhonda, my wife? No, I don't. Can I do a better job? I probably could. Last week, remember we talked about little Johnny? I said, little Johnny, growing up, maybe you've been taught this growing up, kids, maybe you've been taught this, your moms, your dads, your grandmas, your grandpas have taught you to be thankful. Little Johnny, Uncle Bert just gave you a piece of candy. What do you say? Thank you, right? Now, I think it's okay to teach little Johnny to be thankful. I think it's okay for us to be good role models for little Johnny in our lives to be more thankful. Maybe some of that will catch on with little Johnny. Instead of Johnny getting the candy and then me as his papa, I don't have a Johnny in my life, but figuratively, I mean, for the illustration, I come to Johnny, and before I get there, he's already said it. Because he learned it by watching what his mom and dad or his uncle and grandma and grandpa did. They were people of thanksgiving, and they were people of gratitude. And so little Johnny had learned from them, and it just became part of who he was. It was an automatic response. Do we always do it automatically? Do we always do it the way we should? I can confess that I'm not always thankful. If somebody cuts me off in traffic, if the person behind me in the grocery store with the cart hits me in the Achilles heel, I'm not always grateful for those kinds of things. All right. But can we live more as people of joy that pray often and give thanks when appropriate? I think we can. I think we can be better at that. Yes. Okay, so the message, I think I'm on page 7 now. I just did it from memory. Martin Luther wrote this. He said, "When I look at myself, I don't see how I can be saved." When I look at myself, I don't see how I can be saved. When I look at Christ, I don't see how I can be lost. Isn't that good? And then he said this, "Thankfulness is a virtue characteristic of real Christians. It's their worship of God at its best. They thank God and do it with all their hearts." Luther went on to say, "To thank with all your heart is an art taught by the Holy Spirit. You need not worry that the man who can say, 'Thanks be to God,' with all his heart will ever be proud, stubborn, or will work against God with his gifts. Rejoicing is not pretending everything is fine. Rejoicing is trusting that Christ is present even when everything feels broken. We rejoice not because the mess is good, but because Jesus is still Lord in the middle of it, and He is good." And then Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." We talked a little bit about that. And then, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Notice that Paul doesn't say, "Give thanks for all circumstances." Every commentary writer that I read on this verse said the same thing. We're all in agreement. God is not asking you to be thankful and to say thank you for a difficult time in your life, a storm, a trial, something that's really hard. He's not asking you to be thankful for that thing necessarily. In the long run, it could be a good thing. Could be something that we learn from or are better for. Could be. But Paul is saying here, give thanks in all circumstances. Not necessarily for all the circumstances, but be a person of thanksgiving in all circumstances. Because you know who created you. You know who gave you life. You know who continues to shower his blessings and his mercy and his gifts of love and grace upon your life. You know where that comes from. And so our lives are a response of that, what we've received. Tullian said this, he said, grace doesn't make suffering go away, but it gives suffering meaning. We give thanks because, not because the mess is holy, but because God meets us there with mercy. Chad Bird said it this way, the Christian life is not about moving from failure to success, but from death to life. Gratitude flows from that truth. We were dead, Christ made us alive. If that is true, and it is, then even the mess cannot steal our hope. Even the mess in our lives cannot steal our hope. Because our hope is in Christ. Gratitude is the fruit of grace received when we see that Christ has already done everything necessary for our salvation. God's love is not dependent on our circumstances. The cross is already settled. God's heart toward us. Then even then in the mess, we can give thanks. Job lost his kids, his livestock, his health, everything, seemingly. First thing he did, tore his clothes, threw ashes on himself, and then bowed down in worship. Even in the midst of the mess, Job was able to worship and give thanks. This is from the Lutheran Hour ministry site. As we think about who Christ is in our lives, what is it like to be a follower of Christ? What is it like to live the life of a believer, free and forgiven in Christ? It is, as St. Paul said, to live together with others in peace, to encourage the timid, to help the weak, to be patient with all, to see that no one pays back wrong for wrong, to do good to one another, to be happy, to pray unceasingly, and to be thankful, no matter what the circumstances. To give thanks, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. Even in the mess, Father, we give thanks. Even in the hard times, we give thanks. Even in the good times, the easy times, teach us to be thankful. Help us to be reminded of, once again, your grace to us that came in and through Jesus Christ. Help us to live our lives in such a way that we give thanks and people notice and they want to know who you are. Help us to point them to you, Lord Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name.